Well, good morning.
Good morning. Good. It is a good morning, isn't it? It's a good day to be found in the house of the Lord, ready for prayer and for worship together.
As we prepare out to worship together, let's just greet one another. And while we're in that time of greeting, the praise band is going to come forward and lead us in the call to worship. So let's just stand and greet one another where we are, and we'll get into our worship.
In John chapter 17, this is where Jesus is praying to his Father in heaven. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed. He said, "Father, the time has come. Bring glory to your Son. Then your Son will bring glory to you. You gave him authority over all people. He gives eternal life to all those you have given him. And what is eternal life? It is knowing you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth. I have finished the work you gave me to do. So now, Father, give glory to me in heaven where your throne is. Give me the glory I had with you before the world began." Let's pray. Father God, make your presence known to us today. We come to you as we are, not as we think we should be. And we ask for your peace. And we ask you to help us to forget about the things that took our focus away from you this past week. We come to you as your children, in humble adoration and praise, to sit at your feet and to listen, and to see, and to feel your Holy Spirit among us. Father, we ask you to guide our hearts and our minds closer to you as we spend time in your presence in this place set apart for worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
One of the key aspects of our worship for God is giving back to God of the bounty that he has given to us. And so that is why in a worship service we always take up an offering of our tithes and offerings, for we want to support the kingdom work because we call God our Father, and he has asked us to join him in his kingdom work. And so we give generously to that. I'm asking the ushers now to come forward and take up the offering this morning. Father God, we who you call your children give you thanks for inviting us into your family, for adopting us as sons and daughters of the King. Through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection, we have received redemption from our sins, and we are grateful. Lord, as an act of worship towards you, we return to you the tithes and offerings that are due to you. We ask you to multiply them and bless them and guide us as we use them in your kingdom work. Hear our prayer, Father, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Hi, Andrew. Hi, Jacob. Okay, so what in this whole scope of society, what are you? Starts with a C, ends with a D. Has an H-I-L-D and H-I-L in there as well. Child. You're a child. And you know what, though? Everybody in this church is a child of somebody, or was a child of somebody. My wife often tells me not to act like a child. Okay? Oh, I thought you said amen. I didn't want to hear that. anyways, so we're all created in God's image, right? We're children of God, and we're created in his image. And what is God? What is Jesus? What is God? Starts with L, ends with an E. and an O-V in the middle. L-O-V-E. Love. Thank you, Jacob. Okay. So God is love, right? And we're created in His image. So when He shows us love, what do we have to show as children? We have to show love to each other, right? Right? Okay. So that's, remember that. We're created in His image. So we worship God who's all about love. So if we're worshiping, we're created in His image. So we have to love others as He loves us, right? And sometimes that's really, really hard. There's some people that are really hard to love sometimes, but we have to. I heard that one too. It's really hard, but you know, we need to love everybody because everybody needs a bit of love, right? Even people who are not very nice, sometimes a little love turns into being nice. Okay, so remember that. Remember that God is love, and we need to be more like God in His image. So we have to show love to other people. Got it? Got it. You got it, Andrew? Okay, let's pray before we go downstairs. Dear Jesus, help us as we go downstairs that we learn more about You. Amen.
We're going to continue our time in worship. And just before we sing No Eye Has Seen, I wanted to share a verse with you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, it says, "None of the rulers of this world understood God's wisdom. If they had, they would not have nailed the Lord of glory to the cross. It is written, 'No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has known what God has prepared for those who love Him.' But God has shown it to us through His Spirit. The Spirit understands all things. He understands even the deep things of God." So as we sing this song, let's think about the deep and unconditional love that our Heavenly Father has for us. Do we really get that? Do we really understand what He has done for us? And are we thankful? He comes to us with open arms, waiting for us. No matter who we are and where we come from, we are His children and He loves us.
I do believe that this side of heaven, we will never really be able to embrace or understand how high and how wide and how deep and how long is God's love for each one of His children. And I know some of you have experienced that, and you come here each week to give God praise and worship for all that He's done in your life. Let us pray. Father God, we sing these words and we know that in our hearts we have yet to experience the height and the depth and the width and the length of Your love for us, whom You call Your children. And we call You our Father. So, Father, we come to You today to bring worship and praise to You. We've asked You to be present among us this day and throughout each of the days of our lives. Lord, I pray now for all the families here gathered, and all the families of Christian Baptist Church, all the parents, the fathers, the mothers, the husbands, the wives, and the children, the sons and the daughters. Lord, bring peace into our homes. Bring kind words, soft touches, quick forgiveness, and love and joy and peace. May each one of our homes just radiate peace. When a friend or a family member or a stranger even walks into the home, they have that sense of this is a peaceful place. This is a place where joy resides. Lord, may all of our families reflect that to each other and to the community around us. Father, we're part of a bigger community here in Newmarket. Lord, we pray Your blessing on all the congregations meeting this morning. We pray for all the pastors preaching Your word. Lord, we pray that Your word will go out, and as Isaiah says, it will not return to You empty. Lord, but hearts will be changed by the messages that are being preached here in Newmarket and around the country and around the world today. Father, in the news we hear of a major earthquake in Nepal with thousands of people dying. and many more thousands losing their homes. And so, Lord, our prayers go up to you for the victims and the families of this devastating earthquake. Lord, we pray for the rescue workers and those who are sending aid and bringing aid into that area. Lord, we pray you'll keep them safe. And Lord, we pray that we who are untouched by the physical effects of this will have generous hearts and be ready to give over and above to the relief aid in Nepal. Lord, we praise for those who are sick in our congregation. Lord, we pray for Iris. Lord, we pray for a quick healing of her knee surgery and return to health and a return to our fellowship, Lord. May your blessing be upon her and her home and her two children as they look after her. Lord, we pray for our brother Jeff Scobie this morning, suffering with Crohn's disease. Lord, we pray your healing upon his body. Lord, we ask you to give the doctors wisdom in diagnosis and procedures to alleviate this condition. Lord, hear our prayer, for we pray in Jesus' name. And now, in the quietness of this place, where we've gathered each week, there's something on your heart that quietly you want to bring to the Lord. Maybe it's a petition. Maybe it's an urgent need in yourself or in your home, your family. Or maybe it's just an item of praise, and you want to spend just a few minutes alone with God. He is present here among us by His Spirit, so be fully present with Him. In the quietness of your own heart, speak with God now. Father, it is a joy and a blessing to know that you abide within us and you abide among us. That we call you Father and you call us your children. Father, thank you for hearing our prayers this morning. Guide and direct our paths, we pray. Heal those who are hurting, Lord, and bring peace to those minds that are troubled and are enduring difficult times. Thank you for hearing our prayers, Lord, for we've prayed them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good morning again. Is it still morning? Yes, it's still morning. I gave homework last week. Anybody remember what the homework was? You do remember what it was. What was it? Spend time with the Lord and experience His presence. Anybody have a testimony that they'd like to share of an experience with God this past week? Doesn't have to be big. Just a little thing that said, yeah, that was God speaking to me.
Well, I thought about what you had said, and, you know, I try to spend time with the Lord every day. Some days it doesn't actually happen as it ought to be. It's more on the fly or on the run, and then I feel guilty about it, and guilt's not of the kingdom, but still, at the same time, it's not accomplished. So, I happened to see a program on the TV. It was Joyce Meyer, actually, and she talked about the same thing. And something that she said that caught me was, just do it. Turn everything off. Turn off the phone. Turn off everything. And just do it. And never mind the interruptions, because the enemy will bring all kinds of interruptions, and he does. Because it's the phone and the email and every other thing. So I did. And the interesting thing was, I actually sat down on the floor, which I didn't think I could do because I didn't think I'd be able to get up, but it was remarkable that I was able to. And then the cat came over to sit on me and all the rest of it, and I said, you know, go away, I don't want to do distractions. But the neat thing was, to be really fast about this, is The Holy Spirit was right there. And it was there in a way that I hadn't experienced for a long time. And that little bit of quiet time turned into over an hour. I thought it was only 10 minutes. And I got to ask a lot of questions that I really had not received answers on. I also was gently convicted of some things that I shouldn't be doing and need to repent of. And the whole experience was, it was like life-changing. And I thought I knew so much, but I really realized I don't know anything.
Anybody else have a specific experience of God while you were doing your homework last week? Amy, you didn't get the homework. You weren't here last week. Direct prayer, direct answer to prayer, right there on the spot. Yeah. God speaks even in those little, what may seem mundane things of life. God speaks into those. It's not just the big thing. One more. Go ahead, Betty.
Can I talk about that experience? Just a moment.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Go ahead.
This is not like me to talk, but when I listen to the man, then I think, I have to thank the Lord so much. I'm going to tell you a little thing in my life, and it sounds weird, and it is crazy, but it happened. I had a grandson who was 22, and he died. So one night, I couldn't sleep, and there was a noise, and there was a noise and a noise. So I prayed. I said, Dear Lord, what have I done wrong? I know what I have done wrong. I don't know what to do, and I'm afraid I'm not going to heaven. And the Lord said to me, just to get it out, you are forgiven, and you are going to heaven. And I was so happy. Well, the minister knows that it is true, but I thought it's nice if people know what the Lord can do in your life, because I said to the Lord, why did it happen to me? Why did I see my grandson, who is dead, and looked very mad at me? I was in church. He looked very mad, and they were having communion. I said, why, Lord? And there was another thing. I can't remember the other one, but that was the biggest one. I'm trying to think about the other one. I don't know. You remember now?
You've told me, but I can't remember.
But I can tell you. I'm so
but
happy.
But you have lots of experiences. Uh-huh. You've told me of lots of experiences of God actually speaking to you. You've told me of lots of experiences of God actually speaking
that's
to you.
Three of them.
Yes, I know. But you've just told us one, yes. And that's wonderful. Thank you, Betty.
The other one, but I don't know the other ones anymore. I was thinking about the other day, and I knew them. But I think they're... Therefore, don't let me tell, because now I don't know.
That's good. All right. Well, thank you, Betty. Thank you for sharing that with us. Wonderful. So God does speak to us in our quiet moments, and sometimes He shouts at us when we need really to hear Him. But the big work of God, the big thing we see, the big experience of God doesn't really sort of take place out there, it takes place in here. But we have to spend time, as Gary has discovered and Bill has discovered, him and all of us have discovered, in that quiet time with the Lord, He does a real work of us experiencing Him in our hearts. But we have to get quiet with Him. We have to block off the time,
switch it all off, and as the scripture says, go into your closet and pray to your Father in heaven. That's the work we have to do so that he can do the work on us. And as we experience Christ's work in us, as we experience God's work in our lives, we begin to grow. And the scripture does talk to us about growing. It talks to us about growing up. And I'd like someone to read for us now. Get your Bibles out, because when I'm down here on the floor, you have to do the reading. Ephesians, I would like someone to get to Ephesians 4:15, and someone else to get quickly 1 Peter 2:2-3. Okay, Rishnika? Ephesians 4:15, stand up in your big oratory voice. We'll grow up into him. As we experience God more and more in our lives, we grow up into Christ. We become more Christ-like because we're growing. It's an active thing. Our Christian faith is not a passive thing. It's an active thing of change and growing and maturing in Christ. We grow up. 1 Peter 2:2-3. Go ahead, Gary. Yeah, we touched on that idea from Psalm 34 last week, is that tasting the Lord, that he is good. But we grow. There's that word again. We grow up. And like children, we grow up and we become like children of God. And that's where we're growing into. We're growing into that place of being children of God. And that's why our lesson today, our title today, is Children of a Perfect Father. And the text we've got today is 1 John 3:1-7. Can someone stand and read 1 John 3:1-7? Okay. Anybody? Come on, Judy, you can do it. Amen. Lord, bless the reading of your word this morning. Thank you, Judy. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. All those who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are children of God. You're not a child of God just because you're here in church this morning. You're a child of God if you've received Jesus Christ, repented of your sins, and received Jesus Christ who died on the cross to take your sins away. The thing about being a child of God is that we grow up to look like God. We should be growing spiritually to look like Christ, who is the human representation of God. And children do grow to look like family members. Okay, we all have family members who look like their parents. Someone will look at someone and say, oh, you must be related. I had a wonderful experience last Sunday in this very church. Okay, I'm the pastor, so I'm not lying to you. We had a guest in the church that I didn't recognize. I didn't know who she was. But she's the former secretary at Uxbridge High School. Okay, and she was sitting up there. And I went up to greet her, and I shook her hand. She said to me, you're gonna laugh at this, but she said to me, are you Bill and Tim Daly's brother? So I just basked in that for a moment before, just oh, wonderful. I said, no, I'm their father. But she knew the boys when they were back in high school. I went home immediately and told my sons this story. But Philip was the computer guy, and he was always in and out of the office in the school, helping the secretary and everybody fix the networks and stuff like that. But he's been gone from the school 18 years.
So I forgive her the mistake a bit. So we have this experience of people looking like, and they have mannerisms even like. You look at your children, and they do things or say things just like their father. My sister once, I remember a few years ago, she lives here in Scarborough. I love my sister very dearly. But I made some remark to her, as brothers do to their sisters. And she said, yeah, thank you, Charlie. And Charlie's our dad, our father's name. So, like, many, many years later, she's still saying, yeah, thank you, Dad. Like, because I mimic him. I look like him, and I say some things, and I have mannerisms that are just like him. And so we grow up. We have these expressions, chip off the old block. Right? We have an expression, the acorn does not fall far from the tree. Okay? Like, a child of someone will look like and behave like the parents that they have. And since we're born of God and we've become God's children, we're going to grow up in Christ and we're going to be different. Scripture said earlier, what we are going to be has not appeared yet. We're in the process of growing. But what kind of father are we emulating? What kind of father is God? God is a perfect father, and naturally, in his eyes, his children are perfect too. What father doesn't look at his children and just see past all the flaws, see past the difficulties, and just love their children? Now, I do know that not everybody has a pleasant memory of father. The word father does not necessarily in everybody's home and everybody's family conjure up a picture of warmth and pleasantness and love and joy. I know that. But we're not talking about our earthly fathers who are flawed. We're talking about our heavenly father who is a perfect, loving father. His love is total. It's unconditional. It's complete. There's no condemnation for any of his children, none whatsoever. And as difficult as it may seem, your heavenly Father has no words of rebuke for you. You're a child of God. He totally, completely loves you. He sees none of your flaws. He remembers none of your sins. Can someone read Isaiah 43:25 for me? You got to get that Isaiah 43 right in the Bible. Old Testament, big book, major prophet. Oh, you got it. More than seen. Isaiah 43:25.
I, even I.
Anybody be here sinned? Oh, come on. Has anybody here sinned ever? Okay. Now you, not you, Bob. No, you can put your hand down. Now we remember, but right here in God's word, he says, I remember your sins no more. They're gone. They're past. They're done. There's lots of other verses there that say he's buried them in the depths of the sea from east to west. He doesn't see them. Okay? Though your sins were like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. So your heavenly Father loves you totally and completely. And it says here, he blots out our transgressions for his sake, for his own sake, because he doesn't want to see them. He just wants to see his beautiful sons and his beautiful daughters. He wants to put his arms around you and draw you in close as a loving, perfect Father. He forgives everything and remembers none. This is how God wants to treat you, wants to be with you one-on-one. Can someone look up Zephaniah? You all know where Zephaniah is, right? 3:17. You can count 36 books from the front of Scripture, or you can count 4 books back from Matthew. Okay? And 4 books back from Matthew is Malachi, Zechariah, Haggai, and then Zephaniah. You guys, you've got to be remembering this stuff, right? Sorry? Zephaniah 3:17. When we had lots and lots of children here in Sunday school, yeah, in one moment, did you ever do sword drills? Peggy, did we do sword drills? Did we start that up again? That we should do that. Okay. This. Okay, then there we go. We've set a standard in the church. Okay, and then we'll take that on. Okay, Zephaniah 3:17. Arishnika, you wanted to read that. Go ahead. Right. He will quiet you with his love. This is a father who wants to put his big arms around you and draw you in close. In all your trouble, in all your struggles, in all your tribulation, he just wants to bring you close. And it says, he will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. This is your heavenly father drawing you in, putting his arms around you and singing for his joy because you are his child. We're painting a picture here of a perfect father who calls us his children. Now, maybe you're not sure yet that you are one of those children. Here's how you know you're sure. Someone get John, that's the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. A new person reading today, now. Ah, Tammy. This side is really winning on the reading side. You guys have really got to, like, move it along. Tammy. You're a child of God if you have received him, which is Jesus Christ, and you believed in his name. You have the right to be and to call yourself a child of a perfect father. Child of a perfect heavenly father. Not talking about your biological birth and your earthly father, because some of those memories are not good, but this heavenly father, when we're born again through Jesus Christ, we become children of this perfect father. And when we enter into his house, when into his home, into his family, we're entering into a perfect family. And so we look to the standards of that perfect family. And we now want to live into those standards of morals and behavior. And our righteous conduct doesn't come before rebirth, it comes as a result of our rebirth. You cannot be righteous and then enter the kingdom. When you've entered the kingdom, you become righteous. Because God looks at you and all he sees is Christ. He sees your perfection in Christ. He is a perfect father, and you become a perfect child. Like I said before, a child that looks like his parent, okay, he's not trying to look like his parent. Like my son doesn't try to look like me. He doesn't try to emulate me. He wouldn't want to. He wouldn't want to. He'd want to be taller for a start, and he isn't. Okay, but it's just a natural thing. It's part of the DNA to look like your father, look like your parents, look like family members. And so it should be part of our spiritual DNA to begin to look like our Heavenly Father, to begin to look like our brother who is Christ, to emulate him in every way. So what should some of those behaviors be? Philippians 2, 13 to 15. Philippians 2. Wonderful. Thank you, Shirley. Wonderful. Key words in there. What children of God look like. Blameless and pure. What are we not doing? Complaining, yeah, and arguing. We're peaceful, we're blameless, we're pure, we're without fault. And how does Paul write that? How does he describe that? Very end of that verse, very end of 15. shining like the stars of the universe. Right? Isn't that a great picture? For you and I and all the children of God, that we're shining like the stars in the universe. Our Heavenly Father, our perfect Heavenly Father, calls us into His kingdom, and if you like, litters the sky with His shining stars. And He calls us that through this scripture. So we're not complaining or grumbling people, because we're children of the perfect Father. We're blameless and pure. We're all without fault in His eyes. Matthew 5:9. Anna, you got it? Go ahead. Happy are those who work for peace, in that translation. Yeah. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God, children of God. You're a child of God, what are you? You're a peacemaker. You're not grumbling and complaining, you're a peacemaker. Okay? And you'll be called a child of God because you're a peacemaker. And the one descriptor of God that we need to really to take into ourselves is found in 1 John, where we are in this season of preaching. 1 John 4:8 and 1 John 4:16. Couldn't say it plainer, right? If you're a person who loves, okay, you're reflecting the character of your Heavenly Father, who is love. God is love, and His children should look like that, shouldn't they? We should be the personification of love. If we reflect, if we've got that DNA of our Heavenly Father in us, then we are loving, we're kind, we're blameless, we're not complaining, we're not arguing, we're without fault, we're sons of God, we're peacemakers. People should talk to us when they see us in business or in the school or wherever it is we go. People should say, "Ah, different. I feel joy when I'm with you. I feel love coming out of you." Does that happen to anybody very much, very often? Because we're still growing, right? We're still growing into that. We're still trying to become, if you like, as the Spirit works on us, we'll become more and more Christ-like. We'll more and more reflect this perfect, pure, blameless, sweet love that just should emanate out of our spirits to those people around us. It begins at home, with family members, kind words, gentleness, quick to forgive, no raising your voice. We start practicing these things, actually being blameless and pure and loving, people will begin to recognize who we are, and people will begin the conversation by asking you. You don't have to quote scripture to anybody, you just have to be witnesses. We talked about this morning in the Sunday group. Just be. Be a child of God in everybody's presence till they begin to question you. Then you can tell them about the joy that you have, about the spirit that you have in your life. And it says there in our main text today, the reason the world does not know us is that it does not know Him. The world will not recognize you. It will say, "Why are you so different?" And you'll say, "Because I have the love of God in me. I have the Spirit of God in me. It fills me with joy throughout the day, throughout my life." Tell me more. I want what you've got. We had a wonderful youth ministry back in Uxbridge many years ago. I was an adult leader in the youth ministry for many years. And we went on a youth retreat, and it was always bring a friend. You could always invite a friend, and kids would invite other kids from the high school. And there'd be several sessions during the Friday night, Saturday, and on Sunday morning there was a big group gathering and a sharing time. And there was one kid that was there. He was 16 years old from the high school, never been to church before, never been anything like this before. And he stood up on the Sunday morning, and he said, "I don't know what you guys have got, but I want it." Okay? That's what we want our friends and family to say. "I don't know what it is you've got,
but I want it. Because we just emanate the joy and the peace and the love of God, because we're children of that perfect Father. We're all adopted. If you called upon Jesus, if you received Him as your Savior, and I know some of us wander out and we wander back and then we wander back, but try to stay close to God. Try to anticipate God in your daily life throughout this week, wherever you are, even as we said this morning, even doing the mundane things of life, like being a wife, being a husband, being a mother, being a father, being a worker, being a school teacher, whatever it is you are, do that knowing that you're worshiping God through doing that to your very best ability. That God has placed you there in that mission field, okay, to show the love of God to everybody else, no matter where you are. No matter where you are, you're in the mission field. You're a child of God. He's a perfect Father. You are growing into becoming a perfect child of a perfect Father. Let's pray. Let us pray. Let us pray. Father, thank you. You have shown us that you are the perfect loving Father. You hold no grudges. You don't condemn. You forgive. You are quick to forgive. You do not remember our sins. And you call us your children. Lord, it is our heart's desire that we will grow into the children you desire us to be. That your love will just emanate from who we are. There will be no grumbling, there will be no complaining, there will be no bitterness. That we will just have a sweet joy in us wherever we go. And that way we can be your witnesses and draw more people to Jesus Christ. Lord, bless us each day of this week. Bless each family here today. Bring joy and peace into their homes and into their lives. Hear our prayer, Lord, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I would just like to draw your attention to one change in the calendar, the pink sheet there. The Joy Luncheon is not on the 7th this week. It's on the 21st, the third Thursday of the month. As we go from this place, let us go with that joy of the Lord in our hearts. Let us allow the Holy Spirit to move us and grow us into being like Christ. Christ is the living image of God on earth, and we are to grow up into Him. Go in peace, knowing that your Heavenly Father, your perfect Father in heaven, loves you perfectly. Go in peace. Amen.